From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
We're putting our miners back to work. We are putting our steel workers back to work.
For months on the campaign trail, Donald Trump came to Pennsylvania and told voters coal is coming back.
Clean, beautiful Pennsylvania coal. Beautiful, beautiful, clean coal.
Trump has doubled down on coal. The opening of a new mine has folks in one Pennsylvania town excited. But is the industry actually bouncing back? And if so, are Trump's policies the thing propelling it? Today's show, Keeping an Open Mind. Keystone Crossroads reporter Jen Kinney visited the new mine and talked to people in the surrounding area about their expectations for the industry. Jen, you went to Monoy City, which is just down the road from a new coal mine that opened up. Just describe the town and the area.
Yeah, Monoy City is a town that was built by coal. So in the early 1900s, it was this hotbed of people who live there because they mined. 16,000 people were living in Monoy City in the early 1900s. It was actually the drinking capital of the U.S. There was so many
bars.
There was like more bars per person
like
than
a party
any other
town.
Yeah, and it was a boom town. Anthracite coal is mined there. That was the preferred type of coal in the first half of the 20th century.
Since the outbreak of the war, the mines have been called upon to produce 8 to 10 million additional tons of anthracite.
And so it was thriving and prosperous. You go there today, and it's a little bit more decrepit. Today, only about 4,000 people live
wow.
in Monoy City.
Much smaller.
Much smaller.
Yeah.
And you can see that as you go around. You know, there's row homes that are missing, kind of crumbling. It's really, you just see a lot of blight.
And what's the town's relationship with coal at this point?
Still very much part of the culture. One of the first things I noticed walking down the street in Monoy City was a statue that honors killed coal mining dissidents. There was like this rebel group of coal miners that were always in conflict with coal mine owners. Mm. And there was a statue of someone being executed on
really?
The streets of Monoy City. Yeah.
It's pretty dark. Right in
it's
the
pretty dark.
Town.
Yeah, it's right on the main street. You just see signs everywhere that it was a big part of the culture and people want it to remain a part of the culture. So I was actually walking down the street on Main Street and I came across this man sitting on his porch.
Okay, my name is Thomas Jacobs.
And we got to talking. He turned out to be the borough council president.
Born, raised, and gonna die in Monoy City.
And when I asked him how old he was, he tells me, I was born on Johnny Mitchell Day.
Oh, of course, Johnny Mitchell Day, right?
Right.
October 29th. He was the man that started the United Mine Workers. Back in when I was growing up, Johnny Mitchell Day was a paid holiday for the coal miners. They had, parades and everything, Johnny Mitchell. So whenever you hear Johnny Mitchell Day, you know it's October 29th.
I was there the day after the midterm election, so I was asking everyone kind of what didn't come up in the midterms that you wish had come up and what did come up that you were happy about. And he said, you know, well, I'm so happy that Trump is bringing back coal.
Well, coal is coming back. You know, thank God that Trump lifted all the regulations on coal.
So there's kind of a note of optimism in the air in Monoy City?
Yeah, there was a note of optimism, definitely, coming from Tom, coming from other people who said coal is coming back. They said manufacturing is coming back. They'd really heard these promises from the president, and they'd really taken him at his word.
So is coal coming back in the area?
Turned out to be a more complicated answer than I was expecting. There's a coal company at the edge of town, Blaschak. They're based in Monoy City, and they have mines kind of around the area. And he said, yeah, they're opening up a new mine. That's going to employ a lot of people. It's called the Mount Carmel Mine. The news reports are saying it's the biggest redevelopment project in the region. It's going to employ 25 to 30 new people.
We think there's probably 2 or 3 billion tons of anthracite here.
Greg Driscoll is the CEO of Blaschak.
And we think that activity has a tremendous potential for economic redevelopment here in this area.
He told me, yeah, we are employing 25 to 30 people, but they're not new jobs.
There could be another 25 jobs. You know, if we are able to get this developed and opened up and we see the market, available to us, you know, we could continue to add jobs there.
Something to know about anthracite. So it's this particular type of really hard coal, really pure.
Anthracite is such a different product.
It's kind of rare. Like, it's really only found in the U.S. in this part of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. It's not used in power plants primarily. It is used mainly in steel making. Still a very big home heating fuel in the Northeast. We sell it into about 20 different states.
The borough actually offers municipal ash collection for your coal burning
really?
Stove. Yeah.
So the ash that's left over after you burn your coal, they'll come and scoop it out of your
stove. Will like bag it and you put it out for them the same way you would your garbage. Mm-hmm. They pick that up for you.
Wow.
It's a type of coal known as metallurgical coal. So it's used in steel making. It has remained a much smaller market than it once was, but a pretty steady one, especially increasingly in places like China. Where there's a lot of construction going on, a lot of steel being produced. There's a demand for metallurgical coal. So whereas, you know, thermal coal, that's the type we use in power plants, that market has really dropped dramatically. And there's lots of questions about its future. There does seem to be a pretty steady demand for anthracite coal.
What has the Trump administration done to encourage coal mining?
There seems to be a perception that they've done a lot. I definitely heard that from Tom. You see it on the news.
You know, the White House, President Trump signing a bill that prevents Obama-era environmental regulations from going into effect. It should help protect the beaten-down coal industry from rules that could put more than half of the nation's coal reserves
off
limits.
But when I talked to Greg Driscoll and I asked him, has the Trump administration implemented any policies that have led directly to this mine or to any of your other mining operations? He said no.
We have not seen a big impact from any changes in the last 3 or 4 years.
He said that the only regulation that has been cut that could have impacted his business was the end of the stream protection rule, which governed how much you can disrupt streams and how much, like, ash or other mining byproducts you can allow to enter streams. So he did cut that rule, but Driscoll said, we're not taking advantage of that. There's nothing that Trump has done that Driscoll says has led directly to his mine opening.
Is anyone kind of preparing for jobs in sort of the newer coming industries of the economy?
Yeah, I spoke to Jennifer Wakeman of Drive, which is another economic development group in the area, and she told me something I thought was so interesting. Mining and manufacturing, we've looked at them for a couple decades now as somewhat dying industries. And as a result, a lot of people, you know, in my generation or even in her generation, they were taught not to look at these as viable careers.
I'm of the generation who we were all told, you're going to college, you're going to college, you're going to college.
And so part of the challenge now, she says, is talking to people, young people coming out of high school.
You don't actually maybe necessarily need to go to college if it's not your thing.
Maybe you could learn a trade. And I also asked her whether that seemed, given what happened in the last cycle, you know, how stable.
With these jobs
seemed.
Going away, you know, and leaving a town like this pretty depressed.
Right. She said she hopes that these companies have learned something different this time around and they're going to find ways to have a more reliable industry in the area.
So I guess the big question here is, can coal mining be, you know, the future of this town, and can it turn around a small community like Monoy City?
Yeah, that was something I had on my mind a lot when I was going around. And Greg Driscoll of Blaschak, he seems to believe that to some degree it can.
It's never going to be the economic driver that it was in 1917 when there were 200,000 miners working underground. But I think it'd become a foundation for a redevelopment of the area with a healthy mining industry. Reclaiming the land and recovering the valuable resource that you can have a stronger economic base upon which to grow and expand into other industries.
Anthracite coal, it has all these other uses that haven't even really been explored yet. It can be used in water purification. It can be used in filtration. It can even be kind of broken down to its carbon and used in creating ultra hard materials.
Mm. Materials that filter and absorb emissions and other types of pollutants. Cause it to hold moisture in the earth.
And he hopes that could be a driver for Monoy City.
What impact have Donald Trump's policies had on the industry and on the town?
So most of Donald Trump's policies have really focused on thermal coal, the type of coal that is burned in power plants. And a lot of what he's done is loosen regulations on how those plants operate, tried to make it easier to open more coal-fired power plants. Experts say, like Art Sullivan, who's based in Western Pennsylvania,
coal is not coming back. Coal in the U.S. will never come back.
He's been a miner and worked in mining for 50 years. He says it's just not going to happen.
Trump is a liar. Trump gave hope to a group of people who I respect, admire, and have spent my working career with. He lied to them because they were desperate for hope.
So even if there are some questions about whether or not coal can be the future for this town, people in the town, like Tom Majakis, they really still believe in it, right?
I mean, I think you can see that it's been such a part of the culture and identity. It would be really a hard thing for the area to lose. And it's not going to go away anytime soon. I mean, Driscoll says they have enough coal in this one mine alone. They'll be mining it for decades. But whether or not it's going to create this revolution, that it's going to be the new powerhouse of the region, that seems really in question. And when I went back to Tom and told him, hey, I kind of went to this mine, saw that they're not hiring new people now, he was surprised by that.
No, that I didn't know. I just assumed that, you know they're going to be out there doing that.
But he also remained hopeful that in the future they will.
Give them a few more years and coal is going to make a big comeback.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks.
That's it for the show. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Jen Kinney. Lots of people to thank this holiday week. We had engineering from Mike Villers, Al Banks, and Diana Martinez. Eugene San is our news director, and our assistant news director is Katie Colinari. Sandra Clark is vice president of news and civic dialogue. John Mussoni is assistant vice president of news operations. Ish Quintero composed our theme music. Subscribe to the podcast and please leave us a review. Give us a holler on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov and at Annette JH. I'm Shai Ben Yaakov. We'll be back Monday.